Think about a lot of old folks doing crazy stuff too. Sin has no respecter of age. Happy Resurrection Sunday once again. It's a blessing. As Minister Terman prayed, and I think Pastor Wright mentioned it too. You know, we celebrate the life of Christ, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ. But without the crucifixion and without the resurrection, Christianity would not be Christianity. It would not be a faith. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. But the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, we need to celebrate that every day, not just once a year. Not just once a year. You need to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Every single day. If you can stand, please stand with us one more time this morning. I'm going to read a little bit again from, we read in Matthew earlier. In your bulletin, there's the resurrection of Christ is in your bulletin. I think I put John in there on the pastor's pen. So once again, I want to encourage you, if you didn't last week, this week, read the different gospel accounts of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you did last week, maybe read it again this upcoming week. Let that be your Bible reading for this week, reading about the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read Luke 23, 44 through 47. We're going to share quite a few verses today. We're going to put most of them on the screen, on the overhead. But I want to read as my luncheon point, my foundation, read about the crucifixion and the resurrection again. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 47. Then my sermon is going to be a little more of a topical type of sermon, more so than a verse by verse like I normally preach. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 47. Luke 23, verses 44 through 47. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." In Matthew and Mark's account, the centurion said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Now in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8, that was the crucifixion, Christ's death, but verses 1 through 8 of Luke 24 is his resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, that Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in, they being the ladies, went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two angels stood by them in shining garments and shining apparel. And then as they, the ladies, were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they, the angels, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Jesus once again says, "Remember, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." I'm going to preach from this thought this morning, the benefits of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The benefits of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The benefits of the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection, the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that indeed may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And that the words that come from this pulpit today, dear God, would be your words, and that they would saturate the hearts and minds of your people. That the saints would indeed be encouraged and exhorted and corrected. That the unsaved would be converted. And that we all would glorify and magnify your awesome and mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. The benefits of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to spend much time at all this morning trying to convince you that Christ died and was buried and rose again. I think most of us in here might believe that. There may be one or two who do not. But over the course of years, many people, I'm talking about 2,000 years, many people have been trying to dismiss the fact that Christ really did live, die, was buried, and rose again. There's a guy, one of those guys was a guy by the name of Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, he wrote a book called The Case for Christ. The Case for Christ. I heard it's a good little book by Lee Strobel. I haven't read the book, but I did see the movie recently. And Lee Strobel, he spent about months and months trying to discredit or trying to find error in the Christian faith. He was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. This was in the 70s. And so he began to research. First, he said, let me research, because he and his wife both were atheists. And his wife got saved. And so Lee Strobel, he wasn't excited about that. He was really upset that his wife had become a Christian and he was not a Christian. And so he said, let me find out, let her know that this Christianity stuff is foolish. So he began to research, and he went to the library and did a lot of reading. He was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He went to Indiana and went to this university and talked to someone about different type of writings, different manuscripts. And he found out through all of his research that out of all the things that have ever been written, be it the works of Shakespeare, be it Homer of Iliad, or any other type of literary works, the Bible has more credibility and more accuracy than anything else that has ever been written ever by man. So he said, okay, that didn't work. So he said, well, let me research and let me go look at this resurrection thing. Surely nobody can die and come back to life. Surely that's a hoax. Surely that's just a myth. And so he began to research that. He began to research the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he began to research through libraries and through reading books, he drove once again, went to either Milwaukee or Indiana, went to another state, trying to find out about this resurrection thing. He said, maybe since the people followed Jesus and Jesus died, maybe they hallucinated. That's one of the theories. It's called a hallucination theory. Maybe they thought they saw Jesus. So he went to see this foremost psychologist, and he said, ma'am, she worked at a university. He said, is there any way that, you know, cause the Bible says hundreds of people saw Jesus. He said, is there any way that hundreds of people would maybe hallucinate that they see somebody that they really didn't see? She said, nah, maybe one or two people, but not hundreds of people. He said, no, there's no way in the world that worked. He said, well, okay, the resurrection, that didn't work. He said, well, maybe Jesus really didn't die. Let me look into this crucifixion thing. And so he began to research all the different ways about crucifixion, all the different things about crucifixion. And he found out about this foremost expert in crucifixion. He's in Chicago now. So he takes a flight. He flies all the way to California to meet with this scientist who knows a lot about death and how people die. And he investigated him, and he asked him, he said, is there any way a person, especially in those days, could be on the cross and be crucified but survive it? And the guy who was an expert on how people die, he said, no, he said, it's literally impossible. He said, because even before they get to the cross, they used to scourge him. He told them about the scourging, how they would beat his back. And many of y'all saw that in Passion of Christ. Thank you. In the Passion of Christ. And so he said, not only that, when they got to the cross, they was up there on the cross, and they didn't bring them down until they were dead. They even broke their bones. The Bible talks about that. They even broke their legs if they weren't dead. So he told Lee Strobel, he said, I hate to tell you, but there is no way that he could have gone to the cross and not died. And so after months and months of Lee Strobel looking at the Bible, looking at the resurrection, looking at the crucifixion, he finally said, I give up, God. You are real. And so he began to tell his wife. He went back to tell his wife, and he said, honey, I did all this research, and really all the facts say that the Christian faith is for real, that Jesus really did live. He really did die. He really was buried. He really rose again. He says, so many facts about that. I just can't dispute that. He said, but what really got me was you talking to his wife. He said, for these last few months, I've given you a hard time. I mean, I've just talked about you. I didn't even go to church with you. I just gave you a hard time all these months, but you kept on loving me. And he said, if your God got you doing that, I want to get to know your God. So the Christian faith is for real. I mean, Lee Strobel found it out. There's so much evidence that Christ did live. He did die. He did come back to life. So this morning, I just want to hold you for a few more minutes and give you a few reasons. This is by no means an exhaustive list. These are just a few things I want to drop on you this morning. Some benefits of the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. He died and was buried and rose again. I mean, he's alive. I mean, the Gospel of Matthew says it. The Gospel of Mark says it. Luke says it. John says it. Paul said it. Grandmama and granddaddy said it. Mama and daddy said it. And I'm saying it to you this morning, that he is alive. That he is alive. There is much what we call objective evidence, but then I can give you some subjective evidence. I've met him for myself. I say I've met him for myself. And so I know he's real. I know he's alive. He took me off a road headed to hell and put me on a road headed to heaven. He took me out of a life that was hopeless and without joy and without peace and gave me a life that's full of joy and full of peace. He canceled my sins. He opened up my eyes. He is real. He is alive. He is real. So this morning, again, I'll give you a few benefits, and we're going to put them on the screen and put the verses on the screen. I want you to write the verses down, and you can write down the headings as well. And there are some, on your way out, there are some, the verses also out there on the credenza on your way out if you happen to miss some of them this morning. But the first benefit, if you will, of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first benefit is it proves that God is real. It proves that God is real. Acts chapter 2, like I said, write this down and you can read it later. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, and it's on the screen as well. Listen to this. This is Peter. Peter is preaching on a day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit has come. This is getting ready to be the beginning of the Christian church. Peter is preaching and 3,000 people are going to get saved after he preaches. Listen to what Peter says. Him, meaning Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You, talking about many of the Jews, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. They put Jesus to death. But look at the next part. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be held by it. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Up from the grave, he arose. Death couldn't hold him. I like the old story that Pastor Lee, he used to pastor in Memphis. He pastored at Bellevue Baptist Church before Adrian Rogers got there. And I think I've shared this with y'all before. He used to tell a little story about the death angel was talking to this guy. And the death angel said, yeah, we got Jesus. Got him on Friday. We got him, man. We're going to hold him. We've never lost anybody. We got him. So the guy checked with the death angel later on Friday night. You still got Jesus? He said, yeah, we still got him. The little story goes on because it's a true story. That Saturday, the guy checks with the deaf angel. Do you still have Jesus? Pastor Lee would say, the deaf angel said, yeah, we still got him. We're going to keep him too. We've never let anybody get away. Then on Sunday morning, the guy comes to the deaf angel. Hey, deaf, you still got Jesus? He said, no, he got away. Death can't hold him. I'm glad we serve a Savior that death cannot hold. Nobody else can say that. The Muslim can't say that. The Buddhist can't say that. Nobody else can say that. The Mormon can't say that. Our Christ, our God, Jesus, he defeated death. These other religious leaders who started these other religious things, you can go find them. They're still in their grave. It's still in their grave. But Jesus, we just read two or three different times this morning. They came to Jesus' tomb on that morning. They said, hey, he's gone. He is not here. Why do you seek for the living amongst the dead? Now, many people do look for Jesus in all the wrong places, so to speak. People still looking for Jesus in dead places. So he is not here. He has risen. So one benefit that you and I ought to rejoice about this morning, the fact that the tomb is empty, it shows that God is real, that Jesus Christ is real. We're not in some fake religion. We're not in some cult. We're in a true, Christianity is really not even a religion. It's really a relationship with God. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Another reason, there are many more, but another reason, another benefit to the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could really say this one and we can just end it and I can say a few more points and we can do the benediction. But look, because Christ died, because he died and the tomb is empty, he rose again, your sins are forgiven. Your sins, my sins, are forgiven. I don't know about you, but every now and then, I mean, I don't just practice doing this, just like try to do it, but sometime, every now and then some stuff flash across my mind. Some stuff that I have done. And I would love to be able to tell you this morning, some stuff I did before I got saved. Yeah, a lot of stuff before. But even since the cross, even after being born again, some stuff I've done I'm not so proud of, some sinful stuff. But by God's grace, as I think about the fact that I am his, that I do belong to him, that he says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, I rejoice because my sins are forgiven. All of them, past, present, and future. Some people say, don't say that too loud. If you say that too loud, people say, well, I can just go out and live any kind of way. No. That person, I just almost confident to say, that person that must not really know Jesus. Because once you realize that he's forgiven you of your sins, past, present, and future, you don't be thinking about, well, how can I get, I want to go sin some more. Now you be thinking about, man, I want to love the Lord. I want to serve him. I want to follow him. I want to obey him. I want to live as much like him as I can. And then when I do sin, I know I have an advocate. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have thought that thought. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. But you think about that. God has taken, you know, he's taken that white out. He's taken white out and marked all of your sins and my sins out with the blood of Christ. They've been paid for. We've been forgiven. That's a tremendous benefit of the Christian faith, that our sins are forgiven. It was mentioned earlier. We're no longer under the penalty of sin. We're no longer under the power of sin. Sin is no longer our master. I got a new master. So I got a new master. Your sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made him. He made Jesus who knew no sin. Who knew no sin. He's a perfect sinless Savior. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He's a sinless Savior. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's in him that we are made right. It's in him that we are made right. In him and him alone. Your sins are forgiven. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a glorious gospel. You know what? Salvation, you know, the only thing we brought to the table with salvation was our sin. Christ brought his perfect righteousness. Only thing we brought was our repentance of sin. We came to him and said, Lord, I need you in my life. That's a tremendous benefit, that our sins are forgiven, that we are saved by grace. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So since he died for our sins, you and I have now been called to a high standard of righteous living. You and I are called to a standard of holiness. You know, being a Christian, the mere word means Christ-like. The mere word, if you say I'm a Christian, it means you're striving to be like Christ. And watch this. In Christ, by his grace, positionally, we are like him. But now we know practically as we strive to live it out, and someday we fall far short of that. But that's our goal, to be like him. Not to be like Mike, but to be like Christ. To be like Christ. Another benefit. You have been, because of the cross of Christ and his resurrection, you and I have been reconciled to God. We've been reconciled. This is some glorious stuff. I mean, we've been reconciled to God. We were alienated from God. We were separated from God. The Bible even says we were enemies of God. But because of the cross of Christ, because of his resurrection, if you have embraced him as your Lord and Savior, you have been reconciled, brought back into a right relationship. You have been reconciled to God. Romans 5:10. I want to give you a Bible verses on each one of these. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are now called a friend of God. We are now called sons and daughters of the living God because he has reconciled, Christ has reconciled us to his Father. See, God is a holy God. God is a holy God. And the wrath of God, he hates sin. So the wrath of God had to be extinguished. Somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to pay the price of your sin debt and my sin debt. And guess what? Christ did that on Calvary's cross. He paid the price. That's why he said on the cross, it is finished. Paid in full. It's like you have some kind of major debt. It could be credit card debt. It could even be a house or be whatever. Or some big bill that there's no way in the world, if you work the rest of your life overtime and 24 hours a day, you still could never pay that bill. But somebody said, well, I'm going to pay that bill for you. You would be gracious. I wish somebody would tell me they're going to pay my house off. I say, yeah, pay that bad boy off. But Christ did much more. He paid our sin debt. He paid our sin debt. No matter how many works or how many good deeds you and I would have tried to do, no matter how many good things we would try to do, it would never have been good enough. The Bible says if we sin in one place, it's as if we've broken all the commandments. But Christ has reconciled us to God. Another one you want to jot down. You, because of the crucifixion of Christ and because of the resurrection of Christ, you and I have been justified. We have been justified. You and I have been justified. That means we've been declared righteous. We've been justified. We've been justified in a sense positioned. It's just as if we have never sinned. Let me say that again. Let that soak in for a moment. Positionally, because we're in Christ, it's as if we have never sinned. We have been justified. Now, of course, we know that there are oftentimes ramifications and consequences for sin. But as it relates to our standing before God and our eternal destination, God, we have been declared righteous, declared not guilty, even though we know we were guilty. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, and you know, none do right. No, not one. None righteous. But because of Christ, Acts 13:39, I'm going to give you four quick verses on this one. Acts 13:39, just talking about why, once again, the benefits of the resurrection of Christ, the benefits of his crucifixion. God is real. He reconciles us to God. Christ has, but you have been justified. Acts 13:39 says, and by him, everyone, listen, somebody say everyone. Everyone. I mean, the gospel message is for everyone. Now, we know many reject, but it's for everyone. For everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In other words, you and I couldn't get justified by trying to obey the commandments of God. Because number one, we couldn't do it. The law is really a tutor, a taskmaster. It shows us our need for a savior. It shows us our shortcomings. You know, I mean, and so the tutor, the taskmaster, the law leads us to Christ. It leads us to God. So God, have mercy, Lord. Be gracious to me because I got some pride. I did lie. I did do this. Lord, be gracious to me. You have been justified, declared righteous. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified, having been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater person in all the world. I mean, forget the president, forget this person, forget North Korea, forget all the other people. I'm glad I got peace with God. I can be at odds with the mayor, with the president, with Putin over in Russia. I can be at odds with all of them. But if I got peace with God, If I got, because that's what God is over all of them. There is one over all of them. God is over all of them. So because of Christ, because he's justified me, he's justified you. If you're in Christ, we have peace with God. And if you have peace with God, that means you can experience the peace of God. That means you can sleep well at night, even though all kind of chaos might be going on around you, even though all kind of stuff might be going on bad. If you got peace with God, he can give you the peace of God. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified, having now been declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, you know, through Christ. That all of us ought to say hallelujah and shout real loud right there. Because we've been justified by his blood, the blood of Christ, we have been saved from the wrath of God. Beloved, you don't want to be under the wrath of God. I often think about, you know, from time to time when we have these, especially this time of year, when we have these thunderstorms and, you know, it's thundering and lightning. And even when I was a little boy, I mean, I admit it, I just be transparent. And I used to be scared when the thunderstorms come. I don't know about you all, but I'd be scared. And so often, even now, when I see that display, it's just a little minute display of God's power. If you, matter of fact, that's what my grandmother used to say, you know, back in those days, you know, my grandmother lived and granddad lived right across the street from me. So I'd go over there a lot and I'd be over there, you know, little boy, used to always end the stuff. And if it gets a little stormy outside, brothers and sisters, and you get a little dark and it starts, you know, about the thunder, lightning, my grandma would be like, sit down, boy. Be quiet. God doing his business. I used to say, grandmama, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was kind of a reverence. Like, hey, be quiet. I was like, okay, I guess if I'm quiet, the lightning won't hit us, I guess. I don't know. But even then, maybe they just stuck with me. But even now, when it starts thundering and lightning, I think about the power of God. I do. And in a very real sense, that's a small, minute show of the wrath of God. You don't want to be under the wrath of God. You want to be you want to be, as we read earlier, a friend of God, a son or a daughter of the living God. So because Christ, by his blood, says God, he has justified us. He has declared us righteous. We're no longer under the wrath of God. What a marvelous thing. And for that reason alone, that ought to make me and you want to run out of here and serve him and worship him and praise him, not just the rest of our life, but throughout all eternity. Be able to tell others. I can tell you how you can spare yourself from being under the wrath of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:11, as I hasten on, still talking about being justified. Right before that, if you ought to read it when you get home, it lists all types of sins and different stuff that you and I were doing in 1 Corinthians 6, like verse 8, 9, and 10 or so. And then it gets to verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6. It says, it already mentioned a lot of sins. You know, you were doing this. You were an idolater. You were a fornicator. You were a liar. You were this. And then it says, but you were washed. I said, but you were washed. I knew I should have read those other verses before, but you were washed. You were washed. You were washed. Cleansed of all that other mess. You were sanctified. You were set apart. You were justified. You don't lie like you used to. You don't cuss folks out like you used to. You don't sleep all around town like you used to. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, I'm glad that he went to the cross. I'm glad that he was buried. I'm glad that he rose again. I'm glad that he can wash some stuff off me and out of my life. I'm glad he has sanctified us and justified us by the blood of the Lamb. You were washed. I encourage you to read that when you get home. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We were washed. All of us in here are ex something. You just fill in the blank. I don't have time to go all through. All of us are ex something. Another great reason to rejoice, a great benefit of the crucifixion and the resurrection, is the fact that Jesus is at work in your body. He's at work in your body, your life, your mind, my mind. Jesus is at work in your body. He's at work in your body. I mean, really, he's at work in your life. He's at work in you. If you're his, he's at work in you. He's pruning. He's cutting away some stuff. He's molding you. He's at work in your life. He's at work in your body. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the person is wrong when they talk about you can meet Christ and everything is the same. No, when you meet Christ, if you surrender to Christ, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. New. All things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Even if a person comes to Christ and they still may be doing a lot of the same old stuff they used to do momentarily, their attitude toward it has totally changed. They might used to enjoy it, but they don't enjoy it anymore, even though they might still do it for a moment. Because we are new creatures in Christ. New creatures again. Old things. So Christ is working in your life. He's working in your body. He walks with you. He talks with you. He leads you. He disciplines you. He encourages you. He shepherds you. He walks. He works in our life. Then very similar to that, another benefit, very similar to that, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. So Christ walks with us and he works in us, but also the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit to the Christian, to the born again believer. God, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. The moment you're saved, the Spirit of God comes to indwell you. The Bible said none can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So you can't tell me you're going to just be the same old person and you got God, the Holy Spirit inside of you. I mean, the Holy Spirit, one of the things he does, he convicts us of sin. He leads us into all truths. Matter of fact, Jesus, I'm getting ready to leave. He told his disciples, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm going to send you out another helper. Another of the exact same kind. Talking about the Holy Spirit. See, I just lay low. Y'all just stay here and pray and fast. Lay low in Jerusalem till I send the helper. Till I send the Holy Spirit. And of course, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came and permanently indwelt the believers. So as a Christian, guess what? The Holy Spirit, because of the crucifixion, because of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is alive inside of a Christian. God, the Holy Spirit, God, a very God, is inside of the born-again believer. 1 John 4:4 tells us this, gives us a little illumination on this here. You are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I always kind of memorize that a slightly different way. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is within the world. So as we walk around, the one that is inside of us, that's God, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the one in the world, the devil or anything else that will come against the Lord and his people. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, capital S, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When a person says, how can I get over this sin? How can I live better? Well, walk in the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, feed your spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I often hear Minister Terman pray it. You know, you can't follow Jesus and hold on to sin at the same time. If you're going to really follow Jesus and say, Spirit, lead me, all the other stuff begins to fall off. Don't get quiet on me now. So because of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit has come. He's inside of us. He's always existed, but he has permanently, he indwells the Christian, the born again believer. What an amazing thing that is when you stop and think about that for a moment. That the Spirit of God, we know God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. So wherever you go, the Bible in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 6, again, kind of talks about that. Talks about different types of sin. It talks about if you go out and create, indulge in a sexual sin, in a very real way, you're really just taking the Holy Spirit, you're really just taking Christ into that sinful relationship with you. So think about that a little bit. I think that'll help us raise the bar of this whole sexual purity thing. I'm going to say that one more time. Well, if you're doing something crazy sexually, 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible says, just like you bringing the Holy Spirit, and you are bringing Jesus right into the bedroom with you. Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus is in you. Another great benefit. There are many, but time won't permit. There are many. Here's another good one. Because you're in Christ and because Christ has been crucified, was buried, and rose again, listen, your body, my body, will be resurrected. Your body will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:52. I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to trade in for a new model. About ready to upgrade. I was let me digress just for a quick moment. I had to take my car some weeks ago in to get it worked on. And these people, these little dealers, I usually don't take it to the dealership. I got another mechanic, but I had to take it that time. But they kind of slick. You know, they had to keep the car a couple of days. There you go. They give you a new car. So you get to ride around in a new car for two or three days. You're like, man, I think I'm going to get me another car. What would those payments look like? Once they told me that, I said, no, nah, give me my other car. Bring that car on back. Yeah. I'll keep the old one, brother, see, that's paid for. But as a Christian, one day we're going to get the updated model. No monthly payments. Yeah, already paid for. Your body will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, that's like in the twinkling of an eye. In a twinkling of an eye, it's like a nanosecond. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Sister Amber, we're going to be changed. We will be changed. You know, this body, it's not going to go into heaven like this. We're going to be changed. We'll trade this one in for a new and improved model. No more aches and pains. No more Arthur. My mother tells me about Arthur. I don't know about Arthur yet, but you know, arthritis, Arthur. No more bad days. No more sorrows. If you had a bad back like mine, no more bad backs. No more trips to the dentist. You get a new body. Think about that. You're going to get a new body, a resurrected body. And Jesus Christ, he kind of gave us a sneak preview. You know, kind of like when a movie is getting ready to come out and you get those trailers, you know, those trailers. And they show you the high points, the highlights of the movie. Man, that's a great movie. See Well, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he spent 40 more days on earth. And while he was on earth, he did things like walk through walls. Also, while he was on earth, even though he didn't need to, while he was on earth, he still ate. I said, that's a good thing. I mean, we're going to get to eat in heaven. I believe we'll get to eat. We won't really have to, you know. I said, that's a good thing. So we're going to get new bodies. We get new bodies. And the thing about the new body for the Christian, we get the new body and we get to be in heaven forever. And the bad news to that is everybody who dies lives eternally. So you just have to say, where am I going to live? Because even the person who rejects Christ, don't believe this annihilation theory stuff that, hey, people that don't receive Christ, they just, you know, it's over for them and boom, you know, it's over. No, everybody lives eternally. So even the person that rejects Christ, they're going to end up in the lake of fire. They're going to end up in hell forever. So all of us live forever somewhere. So you just want to make sure that Christ is your Savior. You want to make sure that you're living forever with the Lord. One last thing. Kind of ties in what I just said. Benefit of Christ going to the cross, being buried and being resurrected. You will have a home in heaven. You're guaranteed a home in heaven. The Christian is guaranteed a home in heaven. You're guaranteed a home in heaven. John 14:3. Many of you all probably know that verse. John 14:3. Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he was telling his disciples, he said, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Oh, that's good news. Jesus said, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm leaving here, but I'm going to prepare a place for you all. And then he went on and told him, he said, hey, where I'm going, you all know where I'm going. And of course, when I spoke up, I think it was Thomas. He said, now Lord, where are you going? We don't know. And Jesus said, how is the way? How will we get there? And here it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You just keep following me and you'll end up in that home called heaven. But Jesus said, he's gone to prepare a place for the child of God. He's going to prepare a place for you. He said, where I am, you will be there also. You know, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So you want to make sure that you prepare. You want to make sure you got a life with Christ. I mean, you want to make sure you're working with God while you're here on earth. Quick recap. Benefits to the resurrection. Benefits to the crucifixion. God is real. Jesus is real. It shows that your sins, lets us know that our sins, your sins and my sins are forgiven. Also, it lets us know that, hey, you and I have been reconciled to God. We've been redeemed. Also, we've been justified. We've been declared righteous. We've been sanctified, been set apart. Also, the fact that the tomb is empty, it lets you know that Jesus is still at work in your life. He's still at work in your body. He walks with us. He talks with us. Also, the Holy Spirit is in your body. He's in you. The Holy Spirit is. Also, the fact that Christ died on the cross, the tomb is empty, he was resurrected. Let us know that one day you and I will have resurrected bodies. Also, let us know that one day, we will be at home in a place called heaven. We would be at home with our Lord and Savior. I don't know how long, I don't know if you could live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, 100 years, 110 years, whatever that year, whatever that amount of time is, that's nothing in light of eternity. We're here just for a moment. You know, life is but a vapor, the Bible says. We're here just for a moment, but then we're going to go on to be, if you're in Christ, go on to be with the Lord. So there are other benefits on my way out. Let me just drop a few other benefits to the fact that Christ was resurrected. If you come to Christ, if you're in Christ, guess what? He can take your sorrows and your sadness and turn them into joy. He can take stress and anxiety and turn it into peace. He can set you apart unto himself. And one day he's going to glorify you. Not only that, another great benefit, the fact that the cross, he died on the cross and was hell has been canceled for the believer. Hell guaranteed. Hell has been canceled and heaven guaranteed. All by the one name, Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who conquered death. I'm going to give a few names for Jesus, A through Z, and then I'll finish. Jesus, he is our advocate. Jesus, he is the Almighty. Jesus, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the great Amen. Jesus is the apostle of our profession. He has been called the arm of God. Also, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, he is the beloved son. Jesus, he is the branch. Jesus, he is the bread of life. Jesus, he is the captain of salvation. Jesus, he is the chief shepherd. Jesus, he is the Christ, the anointed one. He is the consolation of Israel. Jesus, he is the chief cornerstone. Matter of fact, Jesus is our counselor. Matter of fact, as Isaiah said, he's wonderful, comma, and counselor. He is our creator. Jesus, he is the day spring from on high. Jesus, he is the one who delivers us. Jesus, he is the desire of all nations. Jesus is the door. I say he is the door. He's the only one we can go through to get to heaven, to get to God. He is the door. Jesus, he is an everlasting father. He's an eternal father. Matter of fact, he's a faithful father. He's a faithful witness. He's the first and the last. He's the glory of the Lord. He's God the Son. I say he's God the Son. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. Not only that, he's our governor. Not only that, he's a great high priest. This is just Jesus A through Z. He is H. He's the head of the church. I said he's the head of the church. He's the head of Love Fellowship and any other church. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's a holy child. He's the holy one of God. He's the holy one of Israel. He's the horn of our salvation. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I am. You know how God told Moses, I saw that last night on Ten Commandments. God told Moses, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the life and the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. He said, I am. He's a great I am. I am the light. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the Emmanuel, God with us. Not only that, but Jesus, he is Jehovah. He is a self-existent one. He is Jehovah. Matter of fact, he's Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He's Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. He's Jehovah Nisi. He is the Lord, our banner. That's just a few of his Jehovah names. Not only that, he's the judge of Israel. He's the just one. He's the king. I say he's the king. Matter of fact, he's the king of the ages. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of kings. He's the king of the saints. He is the king. And he's the lawgiver. He's the lamb. He's the lamb of God. John said, behold the lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He's the leader and the commander of God's army. He is the life. I say he is the life. Matter of fact, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. These are a few of the names of Jesus. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of glory. He's Lord of lords. He's Lord of our righteousness. He's a man of sorrows. He's a mediator. I say he's a mediator. He's a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our messenger. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty one. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's our morning star, the Bible says. He's the Nazarene. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's our Passover. He's the Prince of Life. I say he's the Prince of Life. He's the Prince of Kings. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our Prophet. He's a Redeemer. He's a Redeemer. He's a Reconciler. He redeemed us to God. He reconciled us to God. He's our reconciler. He's the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. He is the rock. Matter of fact, it's on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He's the root of David. He's a rose of Sharon. He's Savior. He's a seed of a woman. He's shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's a son of David. He's a son of the highest. He's a son of God. He's a son of righteousness. He's a true light. He's a true vine. He's the truth. Matter of fact, he's a way, the truth, and the life. He's unparalleled. He's unbelievable. He's unstoppable. He's undefeated. He's our victorious king. He's our witness. He's the word. He's the word of God. He is Yahweh. He's our Lord. He's our king. He is risen. He was crucified. He died. He died. But oh, he's not dead anymore. He's not dead anymore. He rose again. He rose again. He walks with us. He talks with us. He leads us along life's narrow way. He shepherds us. He is our risen Savior. He is our risen Savior. Why you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. The tomb is empty. I said the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. He's our He woke us up this morning. He put food on our table this morning. And as Pastor Wright prayed, he gave us a table to put the food on. I mean, he led us here safely this morning. Gave us safe travel. He is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. A mighty Savior. He's a friend to the sinner. He's a mighty Savior. Oh, just give him some praise this morning. I'm through. I'm not out of adjectives. I'm just out of time. Because his list is, matter of fact, that's one of the reasons we're going to be in heaven infinitely, forever and forever and forever and forever. Because guess what? It takes that long to praise him. It takes that long to worship him. It takes that long to serve him. Forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And then we look at him again. We begin to praise him some more. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's the Lord Jesus Christ.